Exotic pets, I suppose we classify as anything from a rabbit, which I suppose is not exotic as such, but we call it, put it in that classification as exotic. Guinea pigs, ferrets, we see birds, non-poultry, I would classify as exotic. Lizards, turtles, snakes. We don't see many frogs, but I do have a frog at home, so that's an exotic pet as well.
Right, right. As opposed to the non-exotic pets, which are...
dogs and cats.
Yeah. So how common is it to have people present to the clinic with an exotic pet?
I think it's becoming more common. I think a lot more people have taken up, particularly rabbits, and a lot of people have been getting bearded dragons. We do see them fairly commonly as well because they're a pretty cool pet. And they are actually a pet. They become quite friendly. So it's nice to see.
What are the legalities around owning something like a bearded dragon?
That's right. I mean... we need to have a license before you get one. So you apply through New South Wales, the service app, and you have to get a license that you pay for. It's not terribly expensive, and it has to be sort of for that particular species as well.
Right. So what's the advice that you want to give today in terms of ownership and the caring for these animals?
Yeah, and I think we see a lot of problems with these guys through poor husbandry. Most of the diseases they get is because they're not kept properly. So I think if you get it right before you get the pet, then you're going to have less problems. And they can live for a long time. So rabbits can live up to 12 and bearded dragons can live till 10 years of age. So if we get things right, then they're a pet for a fairly long time. And I think you need to consider the cost as well. I think setting up a large reptile tank, it is expensive. So getting an idea what you need and getting it right is really important, and getting that right research. So, you know, there's a lot of different things on the internet. I suppose my source that I would go to is a lot of the veterinary sites that have a good resource on what you need to do.
How difficult is it to care for something like, say, a snake?
I think a snake, again, it's getting it set up, the heating correctly, the lighting correctly, and then how you're feeding it as well. In terms of snakes, most of them don't need to be fed every day, obviously, but getting those other things correct is going to make its life a lot happier.
How do you feel being a veterinarian being presented with a snake coming into the clinic? Has that happened?
It has. I like snakes as an animal and I can appreciate them. But in terms of vet work, I'm probably not the person to go to. I'm a bit of a sook, basically. I don't mind looking at lizards and rabbits and rats and ferrets, but snakes are not my thing in terms of touching. I like to look at them from afar.
Yeah. And in terms of ownership of an exotic pet such as a snake, there are obviously inherent dangers to the pet owner.
That's right. And that's another thing people need to be considered of, is the diseases that they can get from them as well. So reptiles, any reptile, really after handling them, you've got to make sure you wash your hands, because they do carry salmonella, so you don't want to get salmonella, that's for sure. Mm. And plus there's some pets that if you get bitten, then that's a problem. You need to go to the hospital. So if you own something like a lace monitor, like a goanna, that's really important that you go straight to the hospital. Same with a snake. And there's different sort of licensing depending on what snake that you're going to have. There's going to be a different protocol, different licensing structure if you're looking at getting a venomous snake. So they're very tightly restricted with those licenses. Of course, makes sense.
What if someone got a pet for Christmas, which no one really advises? What's your advice to someone who's been given something that they didn't really expect and now they've got to care for it?
That is a difficult one. And I think that people who are doing the giving need to really take into account the costs and the knowledge, and then, the person that's taking on then having to feed that animal. And then if they go away, who's going to look after that animal? Because I know for a fact that my mum refuses to feed the frog, so I have to make alternative arrangements. So I think that all needs to be considered, and the person that's receiving, I suppose, you know, looking to make the best of it, either taking that animal on and doing the right thing by it, or maybe they need to, if they really can't care for it, look at rehoming it to someone that is able to.
So for further advice about the caring of exotic pets, where can people go?
I think the good resources, a lot of the veterinary resources, so I find Sydney Exotic Vets have really good care sheets. A lot of the exotic vet centres also have really good care sheets. I quite like to refer to those. Some of the government websites will have some good information on keeping them as well.
And did we get the name of your frog?
Emperor. I did not name him. It was my son.
Well, all the best to you and Emperor for the 2025.
Thank you.